give us more and extra so we can share and give away to the community and to other ministries, Lord, who preach your word. And that's the purpose of everything, that your word gets out over the air or through the air. It doesn't matter. Just as long as your word is proclaimed and believed on in the world. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's not what you give to him, what you receive from me. Rest in his power, he's able to do everything and anything. Ask him, be quiet and listen. Seek him and he will be found. We'll see you through, we'll see you through. You trust too hard to carry the weight on your shoulders. Why do you hesitate to exchange your heavy burden for a light one?
He's awesome. Her song, It's Always Awesome, gets us ready for the message. So we guess that Susie's in surgery right now, receiving her new lung. That's all we have at the moment. But we're going to knock off a few minutes early, and we're going to have corporate prayer. Louie's going to lead us in prayer. And if you have anybody here has anything to add, be our guest. The more numbers, the merrier. And we just hope the best. We can't say enough. Can't say enough about it. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in control. You're right there in the operating room with the doctors. We've seen a picture of it Scott sent. And we know you're there, Lord. And we just thank you for everything. Bless your message today, Lord, and that it will go in and do its thing, Spirit taught, so we may learn to walk by means of the Spirit and not depend on any flesh. As we learned Tuesday night, no confidence in the flesh. We worship Christ by the Spirit, and we glory only in Jesus and Him crucified. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We hear on the news, if you watch Fox or listen to the talk shows, how our freedom is being infringed these days. We're slowly but surely losing all of our freedoms as a nation. The freedom of free speech is under attack. The freedom of religion is under attack. And freedom of all our freedoms, the freedom to bear arms. All these arms are, all these freedoms are in doubt these days. But that's not the freedom we have. We have a different freedom. Freedom is only won and maintained through the sacrifice of human souls, of bloodshed on the battlefield. And our freedom came at a great cost. It came at the price of the blood of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. So that should mean a lot more than any freedom we have as a nation or as a human being. We might lose all our freedoms. Then what do? We lean heavy on the Lord. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to be doing anyways. Maybe if we did lean a little harder, that we wouldn't be in this predicament, because it's the maturity of the body of Christ that staves off any bad things that could come our way. And we just want to be strong and filled with the Spirit, filled with His Word, so we could block any real bad stuff that could come to us. And let's go to Galatians 5, chapter 1. Like I said, freedom. This freedom, no man can take away. It wasn't purchased by man. It was purchased by God and give it to us freely as a gift. And there's nothing. It says later on in this chapter that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and there's no law that can come against the fruit of the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Te eleutheria, for you Greek lovers. For freedom is the word eleutheria. We have been eleutherosen, is the verb. We've been set free. It's one of the main reasons that Jesus came, out of thousands and millions probably, but to set the captives free. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. That was good news, except in Luke 4:18, when Jesus repeated that in the synagogue. After that, they wanted him out of town because he was claiming right there that Scripture spoke of him. That Scripture spoke of him, and the townspeople weren't taken too lightly of that. But he did it nonetheless. Jesus didn't care. He spoke his mind no matter what. He put it best, in John 8, 32, and 30, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had disbelieved him, that is the perfect tense of pistis. They definitely believed, and they were definitely saved for eternity, time and eternity. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed, if you continue, abide, mena, remain, abide, continue in my word, you are truly my mathetes, my learned disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, Eleutheria. Of course, they wanted to start an argument. Jews always wanted to start an argument. Oh, Abraham's our father. We've never been enslaved to anybody. They must not have realized that Rome had them under their thumb right there. And a few years back in Babylon, they were captive, held prisoners for 70 years. And how you could ever forget Egypt in 400 years of bondage. But they weren't thinking spiritually. Jesus was always thinking spiritually. He wasn't thinking according to human standards. Well, anyways, they wanted to argue, and they forgot all about all that. And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, the son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Continue in and keep my word, and then and only then you will know the truth, and you will be free indeed. 2 Corinthians 3:16, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That word for veil is kalumo, and it's the root word of apocalypse, which we know as revelation. When the revelation of Christ is coming, then the veil is removed from the hardened hearts. This is spoken of in the synagogues when Christ is preached. The veil remains. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transferred into that same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Looking into the mirror of His Word, being transferred to that same image, James puts it this way, James 1:23, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he completely, immediately forgets what kind of person he was. Forgets what even he looked at. Peter says so. They go so far that they've forgotten that they've been forgiven for all their past sins. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. The perfect law of liberty. That's the law we live under now, not Moses' law, but the law of liberty. We run the risk of forgetting if we do not apply, by faith, what we have heard. Even the psalmist understood. 119:44. I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. For he who is called in the Lord, while a slave, is the Lord's freedman. Whoever is called when he's free is the Lord's slave. You were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men, as we often want to do, because we don't know where else to turn sometimes. So these Galatians were in danger of falling from grace because of the Judaizers. We talked about the Judaizers the other night. Beware the dogs, the kaka ergos, the evildoers. And Jesus quoted that from the cross, even in Psalm 22. I think it was 16. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. I didn't look at it today. They were pushing circumcision, these Judaizers, while trying to get them to keep the law. The reason Paul wrote this letter was 3:1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Paul reminding them that they were saved by grace through faith, just like everyone else, and to continue under the Spirit's tutelage, reiterating that if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly in 2:21 of Galatians. We have our declaration of independence, not independence, it's two words, independence on Christ. Our declaration of independence is, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the flesh of the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That love is always stuck in there somewhere. Since now we are partakers of this liberation of soul and spirit, our part is to stako, to stand firm. Stand is usually the word histomy, which is hundreds of times, but only in these 1 Corinthians 16:13, Philippians 4:1, 1 Thessalonians 3:8, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, the word stako is used. Stand firm. Be tough. We are defensive. We're not offensive. We don't go out and start trouble. We stand our ground, we stand on Christ, and we stand firm in the grace wherewith he saved us from. In Romans 5:1. Through whatever, and not be too lost, slaves again to a yoke of slavery. Romans 8:15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption, as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ. Galatians 3:26. Jesus, our ultimate hupotosis, or role model, as we would say today, tells us this in Matthew 11:28. All who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, no longer the yoke of bondage, but Christ's yoke, upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. His yoke is a Christos, good and serviceable, and his burden is Eliphros, easy to bear. And you will find rest. It's a quotation from Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not. Of course, Israel, rejecting him again, once again, they never experienced this freedom of a light and easy burden. Learn from me is still his command to us. It's his good pleasure not only to will, but to do in and through us. He's standing at the door and knocking, Laodicea. Let him in. Don't be a foolish Galatian. Our yoke is his cross that crucified us to the world and the world to us. There's a declaration of freedom there. crucified me to the world and the world to me. They can't influence unless we let them anymore. 5:2-3, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole entire law. James 2:10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery and do commit murder, you've become a transgressor of the law. But, of course, Jesus, he takes it another step further. Matthew 5:22, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, Raca, it says in one of the Gospels, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into a fiery hell. So any way you look at it, the law is very impossible to keep. So if you have any temptation to trust in any legalism, stay away. Because there's still Judaizers around. Can name some of them, but those who, it's not circumcision anymore, it's baptism. Our friends the Baptists, they're still big baptism. And I knew a kid from the Church of Christ. They were also big on the baptism. Then you have the Mormons, and you have so many different versions of Christianity anymore. You have to be under the Word to ever really know what it is, because you won't hear anything in the airwaves that's any good. Galatians 5:4, you've been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Hebrews 10:29, how much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Hebrews 6:6, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. They were still going through to the temple, taking their sacrifices, which never, ever took away sin. The blood of animals and goats never took away sin. Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one comes short of the grace, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, by many defiled. It defiles many. Any little root of anything will spread quickly like a wildfire if we're not careful. Galatians 2:18. Wait a minute. Not down that far yet. You have been katargeo, rendered useless, unable to serve Christ. You have fallen ekpipto, fallen out from your position under grace of being any benefit. Grace is no longer a benefit to you. Paul warns that those wanting to go back to law works were actually transgressors themselves in 2:18, rebuilding what was once destroyed. I proved myself to be a transgressor. Verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. Romans 8:23. And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly, there's our word, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. 8:22, I always like this one. Even the creation is groaning, waiting for, suffering birth pangs, waiting for the children of God, waiting for our glorification. Same word here, apodekamai, as the other night in Philippians 3:21, we eagerly await a Savior who will change these bodies of humility into a glorious body like His. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I think we all could use a new body. For this purpose, we, as opposed to the Judaizers, by and through the Spirit, His power and teaching and comfort ministries, the Spirit's, by faith, the faith of the Son who loved me and gave Himself for me, we eagerly wait with great confident alpita, confident anticipation of our righteousness becoming experiential. The very righteousness of Christ that we already are in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And having it as our experience in this mortal body. For experiential righteousness is credited to our accounts when we hear His word and say, Amen. Just like Abraham, it was credited to him as righteousness. So every time we hear it, we're credited more righteousness, and it becomes experiential in our lives. And we have that peace and hope, confident anticipation of His coming, our ultimate glorification. Verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through to love. For in union with Christ, circumcision and uncircumcision, the fleshly circumcision, that is, has no purpose or meaning. But what does have meaning is pistis, faith, dia, through love, by means of love, doing the work in us. Love is the 11th commandment, John 13:34, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. These three abide, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is the goal of all biblical instruction in 1 Timothy 1:5. Paul congratulating the very young church in Thessalonians. I always love this. They were a young church, plus they were persecuted like crazy. But in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul says, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor in love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God our Father. They already had it going. They already had it. They were already working on it. Excuse me for a second. Verse 7, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You were running well. Who caused you to be cut off? Ek kopto. From simply believing the truth. Who cut in on you and caused you to veer from the course that I set before you? Galatians 2:4, but it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. Everything was good. Jews and Gentiles, fellowshipping, eating, worshiping, having a good old time, till the spies showed up. And Peter, who was experiencing this newfound freedom in Christ, when the spies came, he drew back, causing so great a rift that Barnabas even got upset and left Paul. Galatians 5:8, this persuasion did not come from him who calls you. Galatians 1:6, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. They were in fear of rejecting the one who called them, the Lord Jesus. And falling from grace. 4:11. Paul feared that he had run in vain. 5:8. This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. Persuasion is from the word pytho, to persuade, entice, convince. This kind of persuasion does not come from the Lord who calls, because he is gentle and humble. So that you will not lose heart and faint. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, the Lord who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, and has transformed us into the kingdom of his dear Son in Colossians 1:13. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. 1 Corinthians 5:6, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sanctified. He wrote that to the Corinthians when they were putting up with the immorality that was going on in the church at the time. And they weren't dealing with it. Takes just a little wrong doctrine to influence believers the wrong way. Matthew 16:6, Jesus said to them, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak concerning bread?" He said later. They thought he was mad because they didn't bring no bread. "But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not say, "Beware of the leaven of bread," but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Matthew 5:10, "I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is." We have the word pytho again, this time in the perfect tense. Paul was utterly persuaded, convinced by the Lord in regard to the Galatians. In the Lord, his confidence for them was in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, phronao, the way of thinking, or have an attitude, but the one disturbing you, terasso, causing distress, causing a riot in their souls, he will bear his judgment, whoever he might be. Paul was leaving room for the Lord to pay them back for their wrongdoing. Verse 11, "But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves," was Paul's wish. "But Adelphoi, brethren, I still caruso, I preach, proclaim circumcision. If I still did, then why am I still being persecuted?" Dioko, our word from the other night on Tuesday, if you remember that. It's the word for persecution. That he wasn't being persecuted, he had given in. And the cross of Christ is no longer a scandal on a stumbling block. In 1 Corinthians 1:23, the cross would be deprived of its power. 1 Corinthians 1:17. "For Christ did not send me to baptize or to circumcise," we could put in, any religious act, "but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ will not be made void, emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God." Paul's wish that the ones preaching circumcision would apocopto, mutilate themselves, cut it off. Galatians 5:13, "For you were called to freedom. Brethren, only do not let your freedom, don't turn it into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." 1 Corinthians 8:9, "But take care of this liberty of yours, does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." Paul was really worried and concerned that he would offend a weaker person. 1 Peter 2:16, act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but as bond slaves to God. Doulos, messengers, bond slaves of God. For you were called into freedom, freedom at the great cost. The Lord's death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, and all that he suffered on his way to the cross. It's free, but it came as a great cost. The only begotten Son who loved us and gave himself. Therefore, don't frustrate the grace of God. Do yourself a favor. You don't want to be an enemy of the cross of Christ, which we talked about on Tuesday also. Do not use this freedom as an opportunity to indulge the flesh and its desires, but Allah, a strong but, on the contrary, be slaves, allelus, to one another through the motivation of love. In Paul's respect for weaker believers in 1 Corinthians 8:13, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, freedom, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Freedom has a great love and respect to those who are younger and weaker in the faith. Be afar from us not to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Because of our going around flaunting our freedom. Besides that, it not only offends the younger, weaker believer, but it's also great disrespect to the Lord, because he died for him. 5:14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's all to the Ten Commandments, wrapped up in one, love for God and love for others. Fulfilled as Pep play Roma, once and for always, the law has been fulfilled. Romans 13:8, owe nothing to anyone but to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has already fulfilled the law. It's as old as Leviticus 19:18, shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, still goes. In the time of Jesus, he repeated also in Matthew 19:9, 19, honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it still works today. That's why things are so bad. There's no love for God and no love and respect for one's fellow man. Could you imagine if everybody just started loving one another and loving God all of a sudden? Everything would be perfect. We'd be back in the garden. But that's not going to happen. The Bible doesn't say that's ever going to happen. 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Last week, beware the dogs. Remember, they bite and devour one another. Instead of building one another up in love, the dogs will eventually bite and devour one another. The Judaizers will be consumed by one another. Their deception and their false doctrine will fade away. Anything that man contrives is destined for doom. But only for a time, they will rear their ugly heads with some other type of blasphemy against the true word of God. We'll just read the rest of the chapter. I'm going to knock off a little bit early. Louis wants to lead us in prayer for Scott and Susie and the kids. And anybody here is welcome to join in. Anything that's on your heart, you can add it. Okay, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's the Mexican standoff. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, for which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's 1 Corinthians 6:10 and 11. That's what some of you are, but you were justified, sanctified, made righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ. You no longer do those things or are those things. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Egritai, the one I need most. Against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Just let it go in. Do its work in us, Lord. As we believe it, add experiential righteousness to us to go with the righteousness that we already are in Christ Jesus. Lord, and thank you for this great assembly we have here, Lord. Always faithful to be here, to hear your word, Lord. Give them their greatest wishes, Lord, that anything they ask according to your name, that you might give it to them. And we thank you for that great promise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We could all stand.